As we come to hear God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that as you speak to us now, we would hear your voice and we would hear clearly your word and what you have to say to us. May your word come with power. May it come with conviction, that it may change, correct, rebuke us, and cause us to be the men and women you want us to be. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we take a break from James, we're going to look at 2 Chronicles chapter 33. I wonder, of these two phrases, which one would you prefer? If it was said of you, he did evil in the sight of the Lord, or he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. In 2 Chronicles chapter 33, we meet a king by the name of Manasseh. He became king when he was 12 years old, and he was king for 55 years, one of the longest in these series, or among the longest ruling kings. Some had only ruled for much, much shorter time. We're told that here is a king who did evil in the eyes of the Lord. Listen to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verse 2. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. And not only did Manasseh do evil, but he also led God's people to do evil. In verse 9, we're told, but Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. Here was a king whose life, whose leadership, whose rule over the people of God had influenced them to such an extent that they were more detestable before the Lord than the pagans. And we're going to look at how this king went about his evil reign, but also how God dealt with him. So let's go and firstly ask the question, in the eyes of the Lord, what does it mean to do good? What does it mean to do evil in the sight of God? Well, firstly, to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord, what does that mean? Well, that means to do whatever is pleasing to God, to admit your sins, to submit to God and his rule over our lives, to obey his commands, and to live life the way that God wants us to live. As we hear him speak to us, as we hear his word, it is to do what God wants us to do, to live the way he wants us to live. To do what's evil in the sight of the Lord was to ignore or to reject the right rule of God over your life. Is to totally ignore, disregard, or reject whatever God had said or instructed when it comes to our life and our belief. To do evil in the sight of the Lord was to live your own way. It was to live in this way of rebellion to God and disobedience to God's word. And here is a king who we're told did what is evil in the sight of the Lord. And in chapter 33, verse 2 to 9, we see how Manasseh, through his life, through this rebellion, through this rejection of God's word, God's rule, how he did evil, how he stirred up the anger and the wrath of God. And as we look at this, I want us to think about our life as we look at Manasseh's life. You know, you may find that as we listen to this, you're going to be thinking about a lot of people. And you're going to say, yo, that's so true, because so many people live like this, or they live like Manasseh. But I want to challenge us today that as we hear the descriptions of what Manasseh has done, that we personalize it, in that we allow that to examine our own lives. And as we see that God knew the hearts and God knew the deeds of Manasseh, may this be a reminder to you and I that God is a God who knows everything. But also, we're going to see something else of the character of God towards the end of the sermon. But let's look at how Manasseh had stirred up the anger of God. The first thing we see there is in verse 3. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. Now, these high places were places of worship to other gods. Listen to what he says. He erected altars, places of worship, places of sacrifices to the Baals. These were pagan gods, Canaanite gods, and he made Asheroth poles. So Manasseh had led the people into idolatry. His father Hezekiah had broken down these altars. But the son had ignored what the father has done. He had ignored the way that the father had taken in following the Lord there. And he decided to do what he saw practiced around him in the other nations. And these gods of, in that time, you could call it of prosperity, these gods of success, these gods of increasing fortune, these gods of causing productivity, etc. These gods had appealed to human sinful desires. And yet, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, which the king leading the people of God should have been the first to institute this, the Ten Commandments clearly says, "You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below." But Manasseh did it. And as we look around us today, we look at our lives and we look around us in the way the world operates and the way people live today. There are many people who may not use the name Baal. They may not say that they are worshipping Baal, but idolatry is still strong. Because idolatry, in one sense, is to give your heart in worship or to follow the desires of your heart for anything that has to do with this world, that seeks personal gain or ambition or benefit apart from God. It is to worship anything or anyone else apart from God. And this is idolatry. It is pursuing the sinfulness of our heart and rejecting God, rebelling against who God is and all that God had instructed. That's idolatry. So here was King Manasseh who led the people into idolatry. And the second thing we see in verse 3 is worship of the stars or the cosmos, the galaxy, astral worship. In verse 3, it continues to say, he bowed down. It is a sign of worship. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshipped them. Now, the Assyrians, another nation, they lived north of Israel. The Assyrians worshipped the astral deities, the sun god, the moon god, Jupiter, Venus. And we have this in our time as well. The Bible tells us we shouldn't be worshipping anything else that has been created. We should be worshipping the Creator. So this is something that Manasseh did, and him as the king doing it had led the people to do it. He worshipped created things. And Manasseh, in his astral worship, in his worshipping of all created things, had left God to go and follow the created things and find the answers for life there. And we've got to be careful here as we listen to the speaking of people who may say to us, you need to go to so and so. They can read your palm. They will know your future. We've got to be very wise and discerning when we listen. It may be a family member. It might be a neighbor. It might be a colleague at work or at school. We've got to be very discerning as we hear the words of people and realize that what they are suggesting is not to go somewhere, but it is to leave someone. They are suggesting to you, leave God and try and find an answer somewhere else. Because that's really what this is doing. Many people look to the stars for answers, for direction in life, instead of looking to God, the Creator, who gave us life, who purposed life, and who has determined destiny for us. We don't go to Him. Why? But this is what Manasseh did in leading the people. So not only was idolatry something that had stirred the anger of God, but astral worship, where Manasseh went on and worshipped created things instead of the Creator God. The third thing we see there is syncretism in verse 4 and 5 and verse 7. Well, listen to this. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "My name will remain in Jerusalem forever." But he went and built other altars there. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. He took the carved image he made and put it in God's temple, of which God had said to David and to his son Solomon, "In this temple and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever." This is the place where God dwelt. This is the place where God has put his name. This was the house of God. Now, syncretism is bringing together. It's the combining of contradictory or different beliefs, bringing them and making them one. And he took these altars for worshipping the moon gods and other gods, and he brought them into God's temple in Jerusalem, the holy place. He desecrated it. He defiled it. He put them in the place of God, and that's idolatry again. When we take other things or other people and they take the place of God in terms of our devotion and our worship and our obedience, this was another form of idolatry, but here we see it as syncretism as well. And you know, we got to understand that God doesn't live in a temple built by human hands anymore. Through Jesus Christ and by faith in him, God has sent his Holy Spirit. He lives in us. We are the temple of God. Our bodies is a temple of God. It is to be holy. And we should not allow other forms of worship or syncretism in this temple. People become disciples of Jesus, but they still want to follow certain practices and traditions of their previous faith. The God of the Bible will not be worshipped except in the way that he has ordained. And Manasseh had brought paganism, foreign worship into the house of the Lord, and he had defiled the presence of God. Not defiling God, defiled the presence of God, and hence he defiled the whole nation. And like I said, now we are the temple of God, and when we engage in idolatry of whatever form, whether if it is a form of materialism, whether it is worshiping our career, our hobbies, other human beings, our spouses, our children, and so forth, or hero worshiping famous stars and so forth, this is all idolatry. And we need to remember God's place and not replace it or replace him with anyone or anything else. The next thing that Manasseh did might disturb some of us. In verse 6 it says, "And he burned his sons." Just stop there for a moment and think about it. You take your child and you burn him or her. This is what Manasseh did. He burned his sons as an offering in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Now, this is a practice. Again, here's syncretism, here's paganism, here's idolatry. Here's Manasseh doing everything that the nations around him were doing. Children were sacrificed to a pagan god called Molech. And they were placed into a smoldering bronze belly of the statue of Molech. You had this image at the top, which was sort of like a figure. And then at the bottom was this huge, massive belly. It's almost like a pizza oven, if you want to imagine it. And there was an opening, and they put the children into that. That's where they burned their children. That's where they offered their children to this god, Molech. And Manasseh was willing to sacrifice his own sons at the altar of a false god, hoping to get the benefits of what he believed this god was going to give to him. And you know what? Today it is still happening. It's still happening where we sacrifice our children to other gods. It may not be into a big smoldering furnace like that, but think about it. Think about abortion. Think about how many times children are sacrificed on the altar of other sins. When you have a parent or a guardian who is abusive over children, perhaps who abuses a substance like alcohol or drugs, and the children suffer for it. You may have a parent or a guardian who mismanages the finances or resources of the home, and the children suffer for it. They may have a bad gambling habit. They may not be able to manage their spending well. They may overcommit themselves into debt. What about people who sacrifice their children to their careers? You just want to keep climbing that ladder. You want to be more successful than the next person. And you do everything and you sacrifice your children, the time that's required, the love that is needed for these children, and the care in raising them up is all sacrificed so that you can pursue these goals. And you know, the irony in that is that some people say, I'm doing it for my family. What about the sacrifice of children to other things like recreation, sports and entertainment? You see, friends, when we look at Manasseh's life, in many ways, we can easily see ourselves there. Manasseh did what was evil in the eyes of the Lord. Why? Because he replaced God with so many other things. He looked for solutions in life, in all those things, instead of coming to God. The last thing is divination. And verse 6 says, and he used fortune telling and omens and sorcery, and he dealt with mediums and with necromancers. If Manasseh lived today, he would be recognized as a world spiritual leader. But let's be reminded of these verses, verse 6 and verse 9. In verse 6, it says there at the end, he did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. This is what evil in the eyes of the Lord does. It provokes the anger of the Lord. In verse 9, it says, Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before them. So if you look at this, parents, be very careful how you lead. Be very careful how you live your life. What you set in place for your children. What standards you place for them. If it is not God's standards, if it is not biblical, then be careful that we may be substituting God and his word and his rule over our lives by something else. The last thing that to see here is that Manasseh faced that anger of God. But it wasn't to destroy him. This was God's discipline to turn Manasseh around. In verse 10, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself. Here's a very, very big word. He humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the prayer in humility, the Lord was moved by his entreaty, listened to his plea. So he brought him back. He restored him back to Jerusalem, to his kingdom. Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. You know what that tells us? That God is not a God who's just out there to destroy you ultimately. He is a God who is seeking for us to turn, to come back to him. And this is what it means to do right in the eyes of the Lord. It is to acknowledge our sin. It is to come back in submission to God. It is to live a life of obeying God, knowing that he is God. We don't get to rule our lives. We get to live our lives in the freedom under God's governance. Now, despite the sins of Manasseh, God still spoke to him. God pleaded with him to turn in. Thankfully, after seeing that his sins had provoked the wrath of God, Manasseh repented. The big thing we see here is that God was merciful on him. And this is what I want to point out to us today. There is no sin too big. There is no sin too small. There is no sin too far out of God's reach to forgive unless we reject him. The astounding news of the Bible, of the gospel, is that Jesus has come to die to bear that sin, to bear that anger of God. That's what he did on the cross. He took the punishment of God, which is death. It's the wages of sin. And he died on the cross for all of our sin so that we could be restored to God. So that we could be forgiven. So that we who were unrighteous could be made righteous. We who were once viewed as sinners in the eyes of God who have done evil will now be viewed as those who are right and justified before God. Jesus died even for Manasseh's sins. And that is why he is forgiven, because God is a loving God, a merciful God who doesn't want anyone to perish, but to repent and receive the life that he gives. And think about it. Here is a man, here is a king who misled his people, who misled and destroyed his family. Here is a king who did so much of evil in the eyes of God, yet God forgave him. What about you? Do you believe that God can forgive you as well? He did it on the cross. The words that Jesus said, "It is finished," means that all is forgiven and you can come to the Father through him. The question is, will you cast your life on Jesus in faith, trusting him? And dear friend, if you've done that already, then it's a wonderful reminder today to continue doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord. And he will honor that. Shall we pray quickly? Father, we thank you for the mirror view of Manasseh, that we can see that our sins, our evil, provokes your anger and justly, rightly deserves your punishment. Thank you, Lord, that you are a loving God, you are merciful, you are gracious. You do not give us the punishment in this lifetime. You give us the opportunity to repent. And I pray that we would do that, and that we would come to forgiveness and life in Jesus' name. It is in his name we pray. Amen. Friend, the Lord bless you as you go on this week. May you continue living with him.